We're doing so many cool things in this region with companies that are using culture to kind of get through the generational transfer that's happening out there. And I think it's awesome, but you have to work it. It's not just going to happen. You just can't. I just talked to somebody, you can't tell people, you have to talk to people, which means you have to listen and kind of figure out what's important to people, and but also make sure they know what's important to you. And then I think you create a two-way relationship.
Welcome back to the Better People Podcast. I am your host, Hallie DePalma. Thank you for listening. And if you are a regular listener of the show, you probably have realized a little bit of a different format this year. My co-host, Margaret Yerrick, and I have had some amazing interviews with guests who share our passion and understand the importance of workplace culture and employee engagement. But up to this point, we've primarily talked with people who have focused on the execution side of culture and employee engagement. And this year, we've flipped the conversation to continue along the line, but we're going to talk with folks from a different perspective. We're talking with CEOs this year, with the folks who are usually responsible for setting the tone and getting buy-in. As Drucker said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. So we're excited to talk with leaders through that lens. And with that, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Kevin Robbins, who is the CEO of the Mid-Atlantic Employers Association, and thus my boss. So welcome, Kevin.
Ali, thank you. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you.
Yes. And we really appreciate you making the time to share your insights with our listeners. And as a super culture-focused organization, I'm excited to share how you have really been an integral part of the vision. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What's brought you to the point, this point so far in your career?
Yeah, so it's a story that's many years. So starting to feel that long term, but I started as a lawyer. Working first for a judge and then a large law firm. After a few years there, I switched and went over to work with one of my clients called SEI Investments, which at that point was a growing company, been around for probably 25 years at that point. It's now a $9 billion market share company, but very much driven by culture. And I'd say that's where I kind of learned that the importance of culture, especially when it's driven by the leader. And then came to MEA and kind of really saw this as a great opportunity to work with mid-sized businesses, which I love those businesses. I love the people that run them. I love, working with owners. I've done that my whole life. And, I'm a little bit of an entrepreneur myself. I've had a couple of private businesses as well. So, but I believe in the power of culture and of the people who can thrive in the right culture. So very happy that you are kind of talking to leaders this year. We've got some great ones teed up to share their experiences and learnings.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the evolution of the culture at MEA from when you started until now.
Yeah, so I think, we've been around 120 years. This is our anniversary year, which is kind of a crazy number when you tell that to people. We were started by companies who said, we're dealing with some challenges. We're not big enough to do it alone. So let's get together to do it. And so, from that, MEA was developed. But I think that's a key tenet is, organizations say they can't do it themselves, but also willing to partner with other people. And so, we have some members that have been with us 50, 60, 70 years. I'd say when I got here, we had that kind of mission driven focus. Everyone, truly believed in helping members was what we do. I would say when I joined, there was not quite as much on the business process side. Mm-hmm. And so I felt, we had this nugget of mission and vision. And if we could get business process to go with it and really key in on not doing everything, but doing the right things for members, that we had a really, really strong opportunity.
So as the CEO, What are some things that you've done throughout your time here to impact the culture?
Well, I think you first have to listen and kind of understand where people are. And then I think you have to listen to both your employees as well as your members. So I spent a lot of time in the first year talking with employees, but also talking with members, HR, and leaders to kind of understand what their challenges were, how they perceived us. You know, we did some market work to kind of see what they valued and what they perceived. And then you begin to kind of lay the groundwork to have change. And I'm a big change person. But I also knew you couldn't turn a 100-year engine around that quickly. So we kind of had to manage it, create opportunities for people. But also as part of that, you know, my message was there's some great opportunities here, but they're going to be different than we've done before. And I kind of believe in the mantra of being fair, but doesn't mean you're going to be equal. So you can tell me what you have done, and which is great, but I'm going to say this is what we need, and you have a choice to make if you want to jump on the bus of what we need. And you know, so there was some change in personnel that comes, but I think that's part of a evolution of any, you know, kind of organization over time. So you know, I'd say the thing I'm most proud of over those whatever number of years, 12, 13 years, is we've assembled an amazing team who cares about the members, who is passionate, but also are very expert at what they do. And I think we're delivering high quality services and solutions to help businesses grow, help their people to grow. And I'm very proud of that.
So give me a specific example of something that you did, a decision you made, or sort of setting the tone of culture. Two things, one that worked really well and one that didn't work so well.
So I think the one that, you know, that was an opportunity right off the get-go is when first couple of months, I sat everyone down and I said, I'm very kind of experience-driven. I said, kind of walk me through the member experience. You know, how do we, you know, kind of just laid it on the table and everybody was kind of quiet for a while. And finally, someone said, well, we're not sure what you mean, but, you know, if someone calls and asks us to do something, we do it. And so I kind of immediately saw there was a process gap around that experience, because experience leads to engagement, leads to relationships. So pretty quickly, we started taking the most talented people we had and said, you're going to be on the member experience, because we want to be able to have a conversation with someone, not waiting and receiving something. So that was a pretty big change for us. One of the things I believe in, if you can't be the best of something, you should partner with someone else to do it. And so one of the, you know, things I wish I did better was we were in the benefits business. And it was a nice business. We did really great work, but it wasn't, in my opinion, going to be big enough to be competitive in an extremely competitive space. There's some great brokers out there. So we decided to partner with someone instead of doing it ourselves. But the process of that conversion didn't go smoothly. I think we didn't meet some of our members' expectations on the communication side. So some people weren't happy with it. I wish I had done it differently. And it was a good learning to say, the more you can be transparent, the better it will be. You know, kind of when you try to keep things under the covers until you're ready, oftentimes that kind of backfires on you. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about, you called yourself a change guy, and I've heard you say that many times. And, I was pretty close to the beginning of your tenure here. I came on board. And so I feel like I've been privy to a lot of that change, maybe cost a little bit of it. But, I would love to sort of understand your philosophy on change and on where mistakes come in to that philosophy versus perfection.
Yeah, so it's a really good question. So I think, you know, I was just talking to a CEO before this, and I think our past always informs our future. And so I think to understand my feelings on change, I kind of have to go back 30 years when I left the law firm and joined this company called SEI. Came from a very large law firm. We did things that lawyers do, very structured. went to this company that I was a client, but I didn't really know too much about them. And when I got there, they were in the midst of a reinvention, which I didn't know what that word meant. But it meant that they were changing their whole organization, but it was around the business is why they were doing it. And I came, you know, spent 15 years there and realized every year we did a reinvention because that's what we do. But, you know, to come from the outside into an experience where everything's up for grabs, where the organization, people are moving, it's changing, it was very hard for the first year because if you're not acclimated to that and you're not, you didn't know that coming in, it's very scary. And you know, the like an example, I was in the legal department. One of the things they did a couple months in is we decided that, we, meaning the CEO, said that we don't need secretaries anymore. Well, yeah, I came from a law firm where we had 50 secretaries to help you get documents done. I couldn't even understand that. And so it was very scary until you get it. And so fast forward, you know, so once you get it, then you kind of know you have to hire people that are comfortable with change, or you have to build safety around change. So like the notion of safety is extremely important to change. I want you to try something. And if it doesn't work, you're still part of our organization. Like we're not, you know, throwing you out with the dirty water. So coming to MEA was a little bit different because it was a very much of an organization that never changed. You know, 100 years, probably very little change. So, and I think that's where having a lot of years experience helped me to say, there's no way they're ready to go at my speed. And so I tamped down my speed to say, I've got, you know, I'm not going to lead unless I can bring people with me. So, you know, it was a little bit of a slower process. I knew where we needed to go, but I also knew I needed them, everybody to come with me. Now, truthfully, that also means some people got off the bus and some new people like you came onto the bus. And, you know, when we first met, I knew, okay, this person is going to be a change driver, so I need her on my team. And I think that's what we've done over time. But we built a team that, you know, is expert at what they do, thrives in change, and feel accountable. And, you know, there's some of the things that I think I inherently look for because you can't, as a leader, you can't do it all. And that, which is why we're doing this, right? We're doing this because leaders that get the value of culture know it's not about them. It's about the people that are on their team and how to get them to be high performing is driven by culture.
Yeah, you just brought up the hiring process. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, culture fit when we talk about hiring. So as somebody who has been in an experience where I was a really bad culture fit for an organization, I always thought, gosh, what did I do wrong in this interview process? And what should I have done better to realize like this is just not the right place for me? So talk to me a little bit about that interview experience and what is your secret strategy for interviewing for culture?
It's a great question. I think if you're going to have a strong culture, it means a lot of people won't be a fit. And it doesn't mean not fit for a job. It's not. And so, my learning was back when I was general counsel of SEI, hiring lawyers who were very absolutely strong technically, but didn't like the way we did law, which was kind of like project managing, right? Because we had to solve problems. So, which meant, you know, we had to, you couldn't go deep, you had to go broad, but you had to assimilate information and advice and make recommendations. Well, the deep dive people didn't like it. So I felt really bad by when I hired a few people who didn't work out. It wasn't because they weren't good at their job. It was they weren't fit for the way we do things. So because our culture was so strong, I couldn't accommodate that. So what it led to me going forward was I definitely want people that are good at the job who have the right skills, but I also don't want someone that's going to come in and feel bad about not fitting, like you just described with your. So I think I employ a little bit of a quick read about does someone feel like they're a fit, but also then I kind of turn into, I call it the negative interview. I tell them all the bad things about us, you know, like here's what we do here. And if you still want to work here, then it's going to be a great place for you. But if any of these sound really bad to you, probably shouldn't come here because you're going to be unhappy. And that, I think, you know, I think it's rare that we have someone that joins us that doesn't fit. But I think when your culture is strong, it becomes apparent quickly when it's not a good fit for them. Because you don't survive. I think it is a little bit of a survival thing.
What about your advice to folks who are interviewing to understand cultural alignment and if this is going to be a place where I can thrive?
I think it's the same thing for someone that's, you know, who's applying for a job. I'd first say, and I'm surprised how many people do this, go read everything about the company that you can. Go, you know, don't just read their website. Look at blogs, look at something that's said about them, because you'll start to get a vibe for the organization. But when you're there, you know, ask questions like, what do you like the most about the culture? What do you like the least? You know, make people tell you, just, you know, interview them about their culture, because you have that responsibility to yourself. And, right, you know, try to talk to as many people as you can. But be very direct. You know, it's like my negative interview saying, you know, what, when people leave here, why do they leave? What is it that people, you know, like, ask them the negative questions, because if they're not willing to tell you, then chances are it's not a good culture. But if they'll say, this is what doesn't work here, at least you can assess, is that going to be a problem for you?
You know, looking, as I'm thinking about the three experiences you've shared, law firm, major law firm, SEI, which is, you know, I think you said $9 billion, gajillion dollar publicly traded company.
Gajillion is the word I use. Yeah.
Gajillion. Yeah. It's really part of your vernacular. But, you know, we're a small organization. So, you know, kind of share what are things that you wish you could do, but you can't do, or what would you like to do, but the smaller organization is inhibiting the opportunity? You mentioned earlier, we couldn't go too fast with change.
Yeah.
But is there something you wish you could do that you feel you used to feel empowered to do and you don't feel that you can do here?
Well, I think the biggest thing would be budgets and how much we spend on sales and marketing versus another organization, you know, a larger organization. Mm-hmm. I think we have the same commitment to providing excellent service and relationships as any organization does. I think that's also part of being a nonprofit association. You know, it's about the membership. I wish we did better was bringing new members on, because I think what we do is amazing. And we bring 60 to 80 new members a year. I wish it was 150, because I think what we do. And when someone says, boy, if everyone knew what you did, they'd be crazy not to join. I hear, you know, some members say they're CEOs, and I'm like, I wish I could solve that problem. So,
Right. As we wrap up and think about the future, and we think about, you know, the new world of work that we're in, what are you hopeful about? What do you anticipate and excited to see?
I'm excited for every employer that wants to put culture first, where culture also means it's a two-way conversation. You know, and I, you know, Holly, you know this, I say this a lot. Like, I don't like babysitting people, but I also, when I trust people, I want them to live the lives they want to live and do the job. And a lot of talks out there about hybrid and virtual. I think it's about flexibility and doing your job. You know, I used to, in high school, I painted. That was the way I made money in high school. Go paint, you know, schools, buildings, whatever. And my approach was work as hard as I can for 5 hours and do what someone else does in 8 hours, so I can just take the rest of the day off. And like, for someone that doesn't appreciate that, but says, no, I want you to be here 8 hours, so go slower, I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard of. So I kind of, I think, is a vibe I always have is like, work hard, play hard, like do your job, do what's expected, meet your goals, and then do what you want to do. And I think that makes for healthy employees, healthy members. Members get that vibe too. And I don't think it's that complicated, but if you don't want to work, that's going to be a problem. Or if you want to work too much and don't want to have fun, that's probably not going to be sustainable for a person. So, yeah. And I think there's tons of people out there that's how they operate. We have amazing members, you know, the mid-market. We're doing so many cool things in this region with companies that are using culture to kind of get through the generational transfer that's happening out there. And I think it's awesome, but you have to work it. It's not just going to happen. You just can't, I just talked to somebody, you can't tell people, you have to talk to people, which means you have to listen and kind of figure out what's important to people and, but also make sure they know what's important to you. And then I think you create a two-way relationship.
You know, it's funny, Margaret, who you know well, my co-host of the show, Margaret and I have just wrapped up our leadership development program that we did with a member over 15 months. And so much of what we talk about from a leader perspective is, you know, flipping the conversation to telling to asking. And making that connection as well. So it's kind of the overarching theme of listening rather than telling. And, you know, it was quite a poignant moment for people to realize, which is, it sounds so simple, but it is really not what we think in the beginning. So.
And I know the company you're talking about. And when I met with that CEO a couple of months ago, first thing he says is, I have a great team. And that's what I say all the time when people ask about, why are you successful? I said, because I have a great team. My job's easy. I'm here to support. And I think that's how real leaders and real culture people think about it because, you know, whatever that saying is, culture eats strategy. You know, it's true. If you get the culture right, you know, things happen. So, but well, now this has been enjoyable talking with you.
Yes, I loved it. And I just want to end with saying, I am not young and I have never been in a job for more than 5 years. And I have been here for 12 years. And the change and the culture and the great work that we do and the really great people with whom we get to do it, our team as well as our members, is part of the spice of what makes all this so exciting. And we appreciate the work you're doing here. I appreciate the work you're doing here. And thank you for suffering me. Thank you. Like Thanks said, so much for your time, Kevin.
It's a team effort. Thank you for saying that. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Hi, I'm Holly, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode. The Better People podcast is brought to you by MEA. At the Mid-Atlantic Employers Association, we help organizations and their people grow through HR-driven business solutions. Find out more at meainfo.org or in the show notes.